Good morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM, WEEB. Welcome back to the morning, most listened to morning show in all of the Sand Hills. It's time once again for Mornings with the Leader Man. I am Steve Leader Adams, along with John Zumwalt this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve. Hello, everybody.
Don't forget, of course, we're being heard and seen around the world on our live audio stream. That's available to you from our website at talk973.com or talk1041.com or weeb990.com. Top upper right-hand corner of every page has an icon that says on the air, listen live. Just click that once, you're listening that quick. Weather for us today here in the Sand Hills area. A little bit muggy the first part of the week, but the latter part is going to feel rather nice, kind of fall-like. Partly cloudy today, though, an isolated thunderstorm can't be ruled out. High of 88 tonight. Partly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms, a low of 69. And then for Wednesday, partly cloudy, chance of thunderstorms, high of 84. Right now, around the Sand Hills, winds are calm. Pressure 30-10, dew point 72, humidity 90%. It is sunny and 75 degrees currently here at Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM, WEEB. All right, it is 8:34 past the hour on this Tuesday morning. Glad you made us a part of your morning. We have special guests in the studio. John, and you tell us who they are.
Well, we've got a return guest, and I think she's going to be returning an awful lot. I hope so. She was well on her way to becoming one of the more popular guests last time she was on here. Her name is Mrs. Jenny Perver. She's the assistant superintendent for operations for the Moore County Schools, and that means that she's in charge of the school buses.
Lucky.
Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning. Nice to be back, JD. How are you?
Doing great. You know, there's so many things to talk about, and I want to kind of take them in some kind of an order here so that we can cover all of them. There, as much as people like you, and you are loved throughout this county because of your background as being a principal and having been here for a while, but people were very angry, not necessarily at you, but their wrath was taken out on you probably because of school buses. And we know that school buses throughout the state are having problems, but we don't care. As parents and as citizens, we don't care about the rest of the state. All we care about is Moore County. So the first thing I want to ask you, Jenny, is can you give us an idea of the type of empathy you may have with the parents? I would like to sit that atmosphere first. Do you care if they're angry? Does this bother you at all?
Well, I've shared over and over, JD, that I can understand where parents are coming from. You know, I've been in this county 30 years. I was a student in this county, lived here my whole life. And I can say, as a kid, I always rode the bus. And my parents, when they left to go to the mill every morning, left me there to get on the bus and never had to question if that bus was going to pick me up. I don't ever remember going to the end of my driveway and thinking, will I have a bus today or will I have a driver? It was a given. And so for most parents who are like me, they expect that the bus is going to arrive and that it's going to be on time and we're not going to have any questions. Unfortunately, that's not the situation we're in today, and I can understand how that's frustrating. I certainly do.
And you're a parent, and you can see that if you were not involved in education, you might be a little bit,
certainly.
Well, you would be furious if that, because parents have got to get to work. They've got to know their kids safe. They've got another child's going to be taken care of. I want to give you the number one question I've gotten, and I've gotten it over and over and over, and I probably haven't gotten it nearly as much as you guys have, and that is this. Why can't kids drive school buses the way they used to? I won't say the olden days, but
back when we were in school.
Well, that would be the olden days for me, but not for you.
Yes. That is a state law. And you know, when I was in school, we did have high school students who drove the buses. We were able to have plenty of bus drivers and didn't have to worry about it. There's a couple of factors that come into play here, JD, that, you know, we need to think about. First of all, state law says now that teenagers can't drive buses. In addition, we are not at the county level, at the district level, training our own drivers. That went back to the state as a process. So now when we have drivers apply, it takes them 3 to 4 months to get through DMV, and we're empathetic with the DMV as well. We know they're short staffed, just as we are short on drivers. We are pleased that the governor came through with $1 million to help fund some trainers at the DMV. So we're hopeful that as we get applicants, that we can get them through quickly and get them on buses. One of the troubles we've been running into is that people apply, they want to help us out, but it's just such a long process that they give up and find another job before they ever become drivers. So we're hoping to see some improvement in that.
Well, you might be the only person who ever uttered that phrase, we are empathetic with the DMV.
Well, I understand that they're short-staffed the way we are. And I guess, although I'm frustrated, I understand they can't manufacture any more people than they have, but hopefully they're going to be hiring some new people with this new funding.
Well, Jenny, let's go back to the reason that kids cannot drive a school bus, and it's because of our legislature. Now, I know that you've spoken to some of the legislators, probably, I'm guessing, Tom McInnes, Senator Tom McInnes, and folks like that. But listen, one person cannot do this, folks. So let me say this. This is me speaking, John Zumwalt. If you really are seriously, truly want, if you really do want to see this go back to students being able to drive, and a lot of you don't, but if you do, there's only one way to make that happen. And that's for the legislature to change that. It can't happen any other way. And so you'll have to contact your legislators in this area. And, of course, we'd have Senator Tom McInnes. We'll have Representative Ben Moss. And I'm trying to thank my friend, Representative Neil Jackson. I don't know how I forgot Neil. I talked to him from time to time. You've got to contact those guys. And if you don't contact them and tell them that what you want, there's probably little chance that can happen anyway. But it can certainly not happen unless they see the masses are behind this and the schools are behind it. And I don't know if you're behind it or not. It doesn't really matter. It's not happening for a while, no matter what. Now, Jenny, why does it take 3 months once a person... Okay, let me see if I understand this. I come in, I want to be a school bus driver, and I don't have my license. It takes 3 months from that day for me to be on the road?
We're seeing that it's taken at least 3 months. We've had some folks, it's up to 5 months to process. Folks have to take the class. Once they get the course done, then they have to get scheduled to do the driving, the road driving with the bus. And that seems to be what takes the longest, is to get that road driving in.
Do they get paid during any of this time?
They do not. We reimburse for the CDL process. One thing we have started moving towards, though, last year the state said that when we have buses that have recurrent discipline issues, when we have buses that are at maximum capacity and we feel that it's a safety issue to monitor that many kids, then we do have the ability to put a monitor on that bus. So what we've been doing since that time is folks who apply to be a bus driver, we've said, hey, while you're in the pipeline to be a bus driver, why don't you be a monitor for us? That at least gets you some income, gets you started, gets your foot in the door with us, and you're getting paid while we're waiting for that process with the DMV.
Why is there a bottleneck about getting people trained?
I think it's just the wait time to get in with
Why
the DMV
is there
to
such
drive.
A wait time?
Well, what we're hearing from the DMV is the wait time is there because they are understaffed.
They can't put in more hours, or are they like, not picking on all government employees today, but you get a staff like that and they say, well, I'm going to do four test drives today, and that's it. When they could have time for fifth one or sixth one.
Well, what I would love to see is that our DMV sets aside some regularly scheduled hours for bus driver training. That we have that set aside, and that is going to help us with the pipeline. That would be helpful if we knew, hey, these days are set aside, these times are set aside and reserved so that we can get those needed bus drivers through quickly.
There are a lot of things that they could do, but we probably can't settle that right here, right now. So let's talk about some of the reasons that things are not working correctly so that parents can at least know. And there's still going to be, look, when if someone listens to you today and they say to themselves, well, that all makes sense. It makes perfect sense. But when they get up in the morning, that bus isn't there, they're going to be upset all over again. And we can't blame them for that.
Well, you and I both know lots of things make sense, but that doesn't mean they're not frustrating.
Exactly.
And so even though we understand it and it makes sense, it is still a frustrating process, and I understand that for parents. Right now, as of yesterday, we had 6,088 afternoon bus riders. That's almost half of our population in the county. So we're transporting a lot of kids, and I think right now we have 70 afternoon drivers, 74 in the morning. So our drivers are really stepping up. They're driving double and triple routes. These routes are long, and that's because of the number of drivers we have and the number of students that depend on that bus.
How much play does the amount of buses come in? Are you ever short because we just don't have enough buses, or is that not a factor?
We have plenty of buses. We just need folks to drive them.
Okay. Now, here's a rumor, Jenny, and I see these rumors on Facebook, and I don't know if they're true or not, but I 100% believe in asking the person who does know, and that'll be you today.
Sure.
Did we have 30 bus drivers quit the first day?
No. We have not lost a bus driver since the day one of school. When we had that rumor, probably came because I said to some folks, we've lost 30 bus drivers since COVID. So we are down 30 drivers since pre-COVID. When schools shut down, drivers had no job, so they had to look elsewhere. So when we came back, joined school again, and were back full-time and needed drivers, we were short 30 drivers, and we've just never recovered from that.
Yeah. Well, we can't expect a person who needs a job, and that's unless you just there's something wrong with you, and you want to punish yourself by riding around with a busload of kids all day long.
Hey, our kids are great, JD.
I'm sure they're wonderful. But anyway, unless you just want to punish yourself by riding around with a busload of kids all day, you need the money. That's why you go to work as a bus driver.
Right.
And it's unreasonable to expect someone to not be paid for 3 months and not take another job. And
that's
you
right.
kind of alluded to that. We can't have that. So Well, first of all, I want folks to get a pen or a pencil ready because Jenny will give out some information, maybe a phone number, and as well tell you about the app. Although most of you probably do know about the app, but that's a great technique. But when a bus driver doesn't show up, everyone gets sick. I don't care what line of work you're in.
Right.
And there are legitimate reasons not to show up. Well, when one driver doesn't show up, I'm guessing that puts you in a heck of a bind. Is that true or false?
That's true, JD, because we have no substitute drivers. The substitute drivers that we have who are willing to help us now and then are being kind enough to help us pretty much full-time the beginning of this year until we can get folks in there. So when we have a driver who calls in sick or has a sick child and they go down, that just means we don't have a driver for that morning. And you would think, okay, that's one bus route down, but many times that's three routes because we have drivers who may drive an elementary route, a high school route, and then may shuttle kids from a high school to the community college. So that puts us, yes, in a bind.
So even if that driver gives you reasonable notice, their child wakes up that morning throwing up, they give you an hour's notice, that's no notice at all. How do you handle that notifying parents who will not have a bus that day?
So if a last-minute call comes in like that and we're down a bus, we put out a communicate message. So we have a call list for every bus, and transportation office will put out a message that lets them know there's no driver for that bus today. However, we will be dedicated to picking students up. And what we normally do is take the other drivers for that school and circle them back to pick those kids up.
Well, anyone who's dealt in logistics at all knows that is a massive undertaking. It's not just a matter of, hey, Joe, go swing by Bill's house and pick
right.
him up.
Right.
And not everyone knows every part of town equally well and where the kids are. Tell us about what I have not read in The Pathetic Pilot, but I've read other places, about the bus stops that you're trying to get going.
Well, one of the things we realized when we were creating bus routes for this year is that we're going to have buses that are at capacity And you know, the fuller the bus gets, the longer that route gets. And when you have 70 elementary school kids and you're picking them up one at a time, it's about 3 minutes per stop. Five kids is 15 minutes. But if I can get all five kids to go to the end of the cul-de-sac or to the end of the street and pick them up at once, I can get five kids in 4 minutes. So we created these community stops to enable us to be a little more efficient. We don't want students on buses any longer than we have to be. And we know the reality is there are going to be some very long routes because of the number of students on buses and the number of drivers we have to do. So those community stops are picking up anywhere from five kids to, there's a couple drivers who have 10, 15 kids. One has as many as 20 at a stop. That enables us to get kids to school quickly.
What is the age limit to be a school bus driver?
21, I think now.
And do you have to have a high school diploma?
I just think you need to go through that process to receive the CDL.
CDL, and is there a maximum limit? Be careful what you say, Jim.
You know, there is not.
Okay, but probably
there's
should
not.
Be.
There are some health requirements. Yeah. There's a physical and health requirement, but there is no maximum age limit.
So, folks, if you are retired, and some of these retired folks in our county are young. They're military folks,
right,
and they've retired young. And you've got a little bit of time, or if you just want to serve this community, what a great way to do it. And especially if you're a...
Absolutely.
I'm thinking, you know, I happen to like retired military folks. You're in shape, and you can do this. And if you're an older person, you don't have to drive that bus fast. You're able to... You're looking for safety.
I'm looking for 45, 35, 45 is generally the speed of the bus.
Yeah.
And honestly, JD, we do a lot of creative things for bus drivers who just want to work part-time. You know, if you're in the community, you'd love to give back to the schools and the kids. We can't educate them unless we can get them to school. If you don't want to drive every day, we'd love to have someone to be able to call when a bus driver goes down. We'd love to be able to do that. And you say, well, I wouldn't know that route. We were fortunate this year to be able to add navigational tablets to every bus so that if we have subs who can jump on a bus and help us out, that route is in the navigation and they can do that. We had a couple retired folks who said, hey, I'd like to help you out, but I don't want to drive every day. So we have two fellas. One drives 2 days a week and one drives 3 days a week. We're doing that. We have a couple folks that only want to drive the morning. Others want to only drive the afternoon. So we split that up. Someone drives the morning, someone drives the afternoon. So if you're willing to help in any capacity at all, we'll be creative and figure out how to make that work.
All right. Well, look. And the good thing about a retired person is they have that 3 months that they can be trained and not get not get paid for it. Jenny, what's a number to call? A number, look, not a number where they can say, thank you for calling. Please hold. Now we're going to transfer you to here. Thank you for holding. Please hold. Someone they can call and talk to, and they can actually get them on the road and answer their questions about how do I get this started?
Well, if you're interested in being a driver, the first step would be to go on the Moore County Schools website. We have generic bus driving application posted, and the first step in that would be to apply there. As soon as you apply there, you're going to hear from our transportation director, Mr. Steven Anderson. He's going to reach out and let you know, here are the steps. The first step is he'll request your driver's license number, and he'll get with the DMV to get that process rolling for you, and he'll step you through that step by step.
And then just know that you're looking at 3 months. Now, if a person wants to be a person who has, I don't even care if they have phone skills, as long as they can dial a phone and speak and tell parents, look, I'm sorry, the bus will not be there until such and such a time. Do they call that same number? Do they go through that same application process? They don't want to drive a bus, but they do want to help out.
Well, if you don't want to drive a bus, but you do want to help out, the biggest way that you can help out is let everyone in your church know, hey, we're in need. You know, churches are where people serve. You have servant leaders there. Your civic organizations, those are some of the biggest places that we are hoping to recruit drivers from. At this point, JD, we're not getting a massive amount of calls. At this point, most of the kids are scheduled for buses. We still have some folks who are not happy because kids are on buses for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and they're long rides. And we do understand that. As we get more drivers, we'll spread those buses out. We'll look at those longest routes first and try to make them shorter. I met with drivers last week, and one of the things that I charged them to do was take their route. And you and I both know that drivers are going to know much better what the streets are like, what the traffic is like. I just experienced the traffic circle this morning much better than the computer. So they've driven the routes for a couple of weeks now, and I said, let's go through. Number one, we're going to take off any stops where you haven't had a kid in 2 weeks. Maybe they've decided they're not going to ride the bus this year, or they rolled over from last year and are not interested in riding this year. We'll take those off. The second thing I ask drivers to do is, if you see that there are changes that would make good common sense, I don't need to go down this road, I need to pass that and come back to it later because of traffic. Or if you see that one driver may be a better fit for this road in their route and you guys need to switch out a neighborhood or whatever because that's more efficient, write that down and let us know. Now, we've had a little bit of confusion, JD, with the Here Comes the Bus app, and I'd like for, that's one question I'd like for our folks to hear this morning, is when is that going to be set up?
Talk about that, Jenny.
The Here Comes the Bus app pulls directly from PowerSchool and the information that is in PowerSchool. So if you are, if your child is assigned a bus, just say bus 35, and for your address, your child's going to be on Here Comes the Bus app, and you're going to be looking at bus 35. But if for some reason a driver is out today and bus 82 has to come pick up your kid, you're not looking at bus 82. You're looking at still bus 35, what's assigned in PowerSchool. That being said, as drivers have helped one another out, as they've made some changes for efficiency, some of that has gotten a little bit mixed in PowerSchool. So our drivers are supposed to turn in this Friday any changes. And what we're going to do is make sure those changes that are making routes more efficient, because our drivers really know a lot, are reflected in PowerSchool. Once we get all of that in there, then our folks will be able to better depend on the Here Comes the Bus app and make sure that it's their bus that they're looking at. I will say, though, if you get a call and your bus is down and that's not your bus for the morning, it is harder to get that Here Comes the Bus app working.
So it sounds like you're making improvements. You're doing the and look, I'm not one to let things go, not be critical, but I don't know a whole lot more that you could be doing than what you're doing. It's a lot of this is going to be up to the legislature to try to get that 3 months down. And I Governor Cooper likes to throw money around. Wish he would throw a little bit just to get a dedicated CDL bus driver course going for the schools. That would help a whole lot. But it doesn't. You're probably never or ever going to get this thing ever so that it is perfect and parents just sit around and drink coffee and think, isn't this an amazing, wonderful thing? It's always going to be a little bone of contention from time, you know, for folks.
Well, it's going to be our goal to get it back to what we all remember as kids, and that's our goal, is to make sure those buses are not a headache for everybody. But in the intermediate time where we're reaching for that goal, we're going to do the very best we can. You know, if I had 20 drivers, JD, and I hope the folks out there hear this, if I had 20 drivers, then we could make this really run much smoother and be much more dependable. So I just need 20 listeners out there to say, you know what, I'm going to give back, I'm going to serve the kids and the students, and we'll pay you something for this volunteerism.
I think there are folks out there who will answer that call.
Let me ask one question.
Yes, sir.
Has the illegal migrants coming into this area put more strain on the busing system? Have you needed more buses because of it? And do any of your buses go back to Mexico? That third one's kind of a joke, though.
I don't think that we're seeing any more strain on the buses than we've had over the last several years. It's just the lack of drivers that's getting us. It's not the number of students that are riding. It is the lack of drivers.
One of the things that I think parents worry a lot about, I know that I would, and that is safety on those buses for those kids, both in fights and frankly with wrecks and seatbelts. Can you address fights first and bullying in general?
Sure. I will say that our school board and our school board and our superintendent have done a terrific job of cracking down on discipline. And, you know, riding the bus is a privilege, and that privilege can be taken away if kids are not behaving on the bus. So fights and disruptive behavior on the bus is not tolerated. Kids will be taken off the bus and will not have the privilege to ride if they can't behave. We just can't risk risk unruly behavior on a full bus. So that's number one.
Do you have very many bus accidents?
We do not. You know, from time to time, JD, we have a mailbox that might get scraped or a post that might get backed into just because of the size of a bus and turning it. But we've had no major accidents with buses. It's usually a mailbox or a sign.
Just probably time for one more question.
Yes.
Parents that live down where I live, and they have a sunny day, a sunny day, a sunny day, and yet they keep hearing roads, schools will not be open today because the roads are not safe. It's aggravating. Explain that to us.
Well, we have to err on the side of caution. And so just this past week or so ago when we erred on the side of caution, you know, we're looking the night before at the latest weather updates to see what we're looking at.
Jenny, actually, I'm talking more about the ice roads that stay icy up in the north.
Gotcha. So if we're talking about icy roads, JD, I know down here many times in the sand hills, you may not see ice, but our county is a large county and spans a long way, so we have to look out for everyone.
So you've got to worry about the icy roads up there.
That's
and
right.
Take everything. All right, well, thank you very much, Jenny.
Thank you for having
me. I hope you'll get some drivers, and I hope folks will understand a little better. And I got your word that you'll come on again.
Yep.
Talk about
I'll
other
be back.
Things.
I'll be back.
All right. Well, thank you, and good talking to you, and we'll see you again.
All right. So it goes for this Tuesday. Have yourself a great, safe day. We'll see you back bright and early tomorrow on 7 to 9 for a hump day Wednesday already. Until then, be sure to support the mom-and-pop businesses you hear on WEEB. They're the core of our economy here in Moore County, and they need supporting. And if you'd like to be one of the members of the Duke column of advertisers, we'll then call our advertising department and let us show you the power of talk radio and how much it can improve your business. All right, that's it for me, the leader man and Nick and Colt the dog. We'll all see you this afternoon at the dog party.